11:26, so let's jump right into the Word of God. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. As I was studying in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and we stopped in Pendleton for a couple of days, and the boys practiced. My horse had already went on to Newport or stayed in Primeville, and I felt like I needed to move on, and Dalton kept the rented car, and as I was praying about this particular service, and I've been preaching constantly, so I could preach a message that we preached at the College National Finals, and it's not that you're lazy, it's just like it's a fresh word, and you are to hear what the Lord had for them, you know. And I gave you, you know, a little bit of it, you know, talking about no weapon formed against you will prosper. And we stayed on that at the College National Finals. And then, I'm talking those kids, man, they were hungry. And we taught them how weapons that's formed against you tries to stop the move of God in your life. And I mean, for a rodeo cowboy, one of the weapons, and this is Isaiah 54:17, remember? No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment because of how you operate, because how you are as a kid in the kingdom, you'll condemn someone that, you know, talks bad about you, if a tongue rises against you in judgment. And then it ends with, that's the heritage of the saints. Your heritage is that no weapon formed against you will prosper. One of the biggest weapons that we talked about at the College National Finals, and that really deals with rodeo or anything in life, is confidence. Because if the devil can try to cause you to not have confidence in your event, messes with your mind, see. And we just begin to overcome. And I could preach that today, you know, and just emphasize a little more of the weapons. But the Lord took me to Proverbs chapter 18. And as the pastor of this church, my job, I believe, is to equip you so that when you leave Harvest Ranch and you drive out the gates, that, you know, you're going to be hit with obstacles. You're going to be hit with trials, tribulations. It might be in your body. It might be in your mind. It might be in your finances. It could be anywhere. And the devil's job is to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. Would you agree with that? The good news, though, is that you keep reading John 10:10, where Jesus came so that we would have life and more abundant life. The good life, praise the Lord. And so when I was praying about that, then my job is to, if my job is to equip you so that you can go through trials and tribulations and not stay in the middle of them, overcoming it for a few months, and then the temptations come back and you fall again, and then you say that old song, "It's me again, Margaret," or "Me again, Lord. I did it again." Well, if we start learning about what God's Word says and we get it on the inside of us, then you start being the victor and not the victim. Say amen to that. Because God has called you to be a victor. He doesn't want you to just be the old victim over and over and over. And most of you know we live in the United States, and it's become a little bit further away from God. And thank God we're trying to fix that. We're trying to, in the cowboy world, be bold enough to not allow God to be taken out of our country, for God to be put right in the center of it and not be ashamed. It doesn't matter if we get ridiculed or persecuted for Jesus' sake. The Bible says in Matthew, "Blessed are those who are persecuted in righteousness' sake." So I'm not afraid to be behind this podium, and I'm not afraid to get a little political, praise God. I don't do it a lot, but I'm not afraid to say, you know, we need leadership that that wants to listen to God. No matter if it's in the mayor race or the county commissioner or the council or whatever it is, all the way up to the president of the United States, it's time that we not be afraid as the church to stand on the principles that God created in this country. So let's get equipped. Let's get equipped in areas where when we do go through something, a trial and a tribulation, we're the overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. Amen. And all of it, I told someone this in Washington. I said, really, your only hope is found right here. You can get hope anywhere else, but it's a temporary hope. But the hope that satisfies you is only found in the Word of God. And I'm telling you, the Word of God is yes and amen. It will work for you if you would just dare to believe this Word from the front to the back. And here's part of it right now found in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. Look what the Word says here. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteousness runs into it and is safe. Now, let me explain. I studied out the word strong tower. And here's what it means in the Strong's Concordance. You know, all of us, how you study the word is in the back of your Bible, there's a concordance. And it kind of helps you study out the words, and it helps you find where some of the scriptures are. But in some of the versions, like the Strong's Concordance, it really defines the word here. And look what it says about strong tower: security, majesty. There's praise in a strong tower, boldness, loud. I mean, that just means we're not afraid. We're not afraid to declare that Jesus is Lord. When they're trying to mock people for even being a Christian. No. We're not going to. We may get mocked, but it's a high honor that we can be loud about our Savior. I'm not talking obnoxious, holier than thou, goody two-shoe, better than someone else. Because that's not how God is. He's a very humble God, and that's the way we should be. But we are to be loud. Okay, look what else it says. Might, power. And I'm not talking Batman power or Superman power. I'm talking about Acts chapter 1 power, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And it will, if you would just dare let it. When you have the power, that's when God gives you that power to be the witness of Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the world. In layman's term or in cowboy terms, it just gives you the power to be bold enough to declare Jesus as Lord in front of anyone. When someone asks you, how you doing? That's when you declare, you know what, I'm blessed. Thank God I'm going to heaven when I die. That's what I said in an elevator the other day. As we were going up, I looked at the group that was in there, and usually it's real quiet and you don't want to say anything. But I just said, "Woo! When I die, this is the way I want to go. Up. I don't want to descend, you know." So the strong tower is power. And then the last word, strength. We need strength today, y'all. In the midst of the trials and tribulations, Nehemiah said it best, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So we've got to have strength. So when it says the name of the Lord is a strong tower, then know that it means security. That's a place you want to go into. It's a secure place to walk into and reside. And when you reside in the name that's above every name, then it doesn't matter what the world brings your way, tries to bring cancer on you, tries to bring debt on you, tries to bring sadness, depression, and all those things that are trying to be formed against us. Man, when you're in the protection of God Almighty, Psalms chapter 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, under God's protection, under the blood of Jesus. See, we're not just playing church, y'all. We're out there in that world. We're declaring the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I go. I know it makes some mad when the pastor actually leaves and he's not here to pastor, but that's why I got Howdy. And that's why there's Ricky. And that's why there's John. And that's why there's you. Why don't you? Well, no, maybe you shouldn't pastor. Because if you're not called to do my job, it'll make you want to commit suicide. Ricky comes to me all the time. He's like, you won't believe what someone just came up and said to me. They got major problems. I mean, I can tell you stuff on counseling sessions. I wouldn't dare. That would boggle your mind of what people are going through. And it's usually self-inflicted. And it's just like, okay, let's give them the word. And the word, not my opinion, let's give them the word of God. Really, what I'm trying to do is get them into the strong tower. I'm trying to get them into understanding that if Jesus is the Lord of your life, look at the next part. The righteous runs into it. You know who the righteous are? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? If he's not, you're going to get saved today. But if he's the Lord of your life and you've confessed him as Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Not a denomination, not a church, not a preacher. Jesus, because that's whose name we're talking about right here. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run. The righteous is people that are born again. The Bible says when you gave your heart to Jesus, you became righteous. You know what righteous is? Doing what's right. Well, what if you don't do what's right? Does it mean you're not righteous? It's kind of like I told the college national finals. I said, hey, if you're pregnant, you're pregnant. You cannot be halfway pregnant. When you give your heart to Jesus, just because you make mistakes and you sin or you've fallen, it doesn't mean you're not righteous. You thank God for Jesus, his grace and mercy and forgiveness. But a lot of people in their minds go, well, I'm just no good. I just keep doing the same old sin over and over and over. No, you just need to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You need to start going into the strong tower, because the righteous people, the people that are born again, Jesus is Lord, you might not have to know all the scriptures or, you know, pray constantly, but you're the one that should run into the strong tower, and the King James says, and is safe. The strong tower. All that means is that we got to start running towards Jesus. He's the strong tower. His name is above every name. If you're having confidence problems or you're hurt because of rodeo or something's going on in your marriage, let's run to the strong tower. Now, it goes on to say the rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as a high wall is in his own conceit. That just means people that trust in money only is going to have a tough time. But man, when you can use it to the glory of God, then that's the way God designed it. Verse 12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. That's the way we need to be. Verse 13, he that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. The spirit of the man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? I mean, God doesn't want you to have a wounded spirit, in other words. Verse 15, the heart of the prudent gets knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. A man's gift, remember this, makes room for him and brings him before great men. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor comes and searches him. I like the Amplified there because it helps you understand it in verse 17. It says this in the Amplified. He who states his case first seems right until his rival comes and cross-examines him. All that means is we better start speaking the truth of the Word of God, and it's going to help us when we get down to about 21. Verse 18, to cast lots puts an end to disputes and decides between powerful contenders. A brother offended is harder to be won over than a strong city, and their contentions separate them like bars of a castle. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the consequence of his words he must be satisfied, whether good or evil. In verse 21, and then I'm going to go through four things that I want to help you with before we leave. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for whatever it is, death or life. Here's four things that I want you to really receive this morning so that you know when you live in a world but not of it, you'll be an overcomer no matter what you go through. And here's the first thing found in 10. It's very important when the Word says that the name of the Lord's your strong tower, that everything, in Colossians says this, everything you do, do in the name of the Lord. So when you end a prayer, I told Boyd Paul Hemus, who's at the college finals, he's been the announcer at the national final, many. He's been a partner of our personal ministry, Cowboy Ministries, for 20 years. And he's just a faithful guy. And I told, he preaches when he does the opening prayer, even before the national finals, if you ever listen to it. I mean, he'll speak the Word of God. But one thing in the early days that I taught him is I said, hey, everything you do, you end that prayer, even if it's at a meal. You end it in Jesus' name, not in His name, because people might not know who His name is. Are you talking Muhammad? No. The word here, His name is like a strong tower, is only Jesus, period. No other name is above Jesus' name. So end the prayer in Jesus' name. And say the word Jesus. Why? Well, because right here it says that His name, Jesus, is a strong tower. His name, every demon has to flee. His name is above any other name, no matter what name there is. If there's a name called cancer that a doctor has diagnosed you with, praise God, Jesus has the name above that name. So that's when you as a believer declare, wait a minute, as they told me I had Crohn's disease, remember, years ago, to have to take medicine for the rest of my life, would have to stop riding horses and rodeo, and remember all that stuff? And I looked at the doctor who had 13 years of education, and he was declaring that to a man who had 3 years of junior college. And I said to him, I don't receive that in Jesus' name. And he said it again. Son, you don't understand. You got a disease called Crohn's. And it was the fact. It was the fact that I had Crohn's. But it was not the truth. And the truth, if you would just dare to believe the truth, overrides the fact. That's the strong tower. So if they're trying to diagnose you with, I don't care how long you might have it, you keep declaring the Word of God no matter what. You know why? Because the first thing you see here that's found really in verse 10, the name of the Lord is your strong tower. The consistency, righteous man, upright and right standing with God, runs into the tower and is safe, high above evil, and he's strong. You see, there's something about being consistent in the kingdom of God. Not just coming to church every now and then. No. Why don't we get consistent about if Jesus is the Lord of your life, then you're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus, the light, His dear Son. old things are passed away. The way you used to act has passed away. You become new. But you'll never become new until you start learning who you are in Christ. Until you start going into the high tower. Until you start renewing your mind on the Word of God only. And I'm telling you, that doesn't stop you from being a world champion. It doesn't stop you from having a successful marriage. It doesn't stop you from having finances. No, God just becomes the center of everything, and you go into the high tower, and you're consistent. That's the first thing you've got to get a hold of. Number one, consistency. Any good rodeo person, when they practice correctly, they're going to reap harvest. If you don't practice right, though, and you don't get around people that teach you how to do the basics of your event, the swing of a rope, coming around where it doesn't figure right when you swing the rope. It's got to come around so that when you deliver that rope, like a baseball, it goes to the target, right? Well, if you don't do it correctly, the rope can figure right and it doesn't open up and you'll miss the target. Or if you don't follow through correctly and the tip of your rope is behind you when you throw it, then it will not go to the target. See, there's the basics of everything, including the Word of God. When you start believing this Word and you run to the Creator, the one that sent His Son, Jesus, and understand that His name is like a strong tower, then you run to Jesus on everything. Consistency is the key, though. You got to be consistent. Practice over. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we talk to the Lord. James chapter 1 says, if you lack wisdom, ask God for wisdom, and He'll give it to you liberally and upbraideth not. We got to get consistent, y'all, in the Word of God. Here's the second thing that I see here, all the way down in verse 15. The mind of the prudent is ever getting knowledge. Second thing you need to get a hold of is you got to start getting knowledge of the Word of God. God's for you. He's not against you. God is good. The devil is bad. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. See, there's something about getting knowledge. When I started preaching, there'll be people out there at a rodeo service, and they'll be at the edge of their seats because they've never heard anything like this. A lot of times they think you go to church and you feel worse when you leave than when you came. That shouldn't be. Because here's where the hope is, y'all. So there's something about getting knowledge, because the ear of the wise is ever seeking and inquiring for and craving knowledge. I watched a show on the plane, and it's actually about Dr. Ben Carson. And he's a brain surgeon. Oh, man, what God gave him the gift for. Remember when the Bible says that your gift will make room for you? Well, his gift was studying the brain. And, I mean, the miracles that he did in studying. Well, he come from a single mom. Dad gone. Left him. Mom had two kids, and one of them was Ben Carson. And they wasn't smart. Matter of fact, his mother didn't know how to read for a long time, so she faked it. And she said, nope, my eyes are bad, I need glasses, so sound it out. That was her excuse. She didn't know how to read, see. She made those boys go to the library and get two books and start reading. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what those kids, they didn't want to, but Mama knew. She was smart. She knew if they gained knowledge, it would cause something to happen to them, and they became a great success. The older brother, an engineer, and Dr. Ben Carson became a neurosurgeon, a brain doctor, and did some mighty. What was it? It's because of knowledge. Well, half the time, we won't even pick up our Bibles. Why don't we get is there any house cleaners in here? I mean, there used to be an old little deal that you would dust off. What is that thing called? You know, it's just a feather duster. They don't have those nowadays at my house. I got a wash rag. We didn't get that old feather duster off and get the dust off the Bible and pick the thing up and get some knowledge. But that, again, is why you come to church, you see. So the second thing is we got to get knowledge of the Word of God so that we know what the strong tower is, the name of Jesus, praise God. Here's the third thing, and it's your gift. Look at me, everybody. Every single one of you, regardless of your knowledge of the Bible, every one of you has been given a gift. You're gifted somewhere. And I'm not talking to drink beer. I got some friends that do that pretty good out there in the rodeo field. No, that's not a gift. I'm talking your gift, God has given it to you. Some of you are leaders. Some of you have been gifted to just make money. Some of you are gifted to be an encourager. Some of you are gifted in different areas. And whatever that is, you've got to understand you're gifted. You might be just gifted right now to be the greatest mama taking care of that precious little baby. But how many of you know we need that? We need mamas. And there'll be a day then when they whoop your butt. Right, Mom? Yeah, I got a lot of it when I was little. Can y'all believe that? Did she whoop me that much? Remember that magazine? She showed me a story where they talked about our rodeo and they interviewed me. There was years ago, they put me in this magazine, and one of the questions are, what are you most afraid of? And I said, my mom. Remember that? And Mom, my brother's called and says, man, Mom is very upset right now. I said, why? Because you told all of America that she's mean and she beats you. I said, no, I didn't. It's just like God. I just had a reverence fear of her. She could slap you with the backhand when you were way in the back of the truck somehow. I don't know how she did it, but what'd you say? You know. Listen to me. We got to understand that God's given every one of us a gift. And God will make room for it if you just let that gifting come out. That's the third thing. You've got a gift. Here's the last thing and we'll close. All the way down in verse 21. Death and life are in the power. Say it with me. Of the tongue. Do you see that? Y'all have your Bibles, right? You got your tablets, your phones? Got your phone? I just laugh and laugh at all these gray-haired folk that don't have an actual Bible and they have phones. No, I mean, it's good, though. Death and life are in the power of your tongue, and they who indulge in it eat the fruit of it, death or life. Okay? Let me give you some advice. This mouth is very, very, very powerful. It's really how you get saved. You can't get saved by thinking, Jesus, come into my heart, and not say it. Because that's what Romans 10 says. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if thou, all, thou is us in the King James, if you will confess. I don't know anybody that confessed something underneath their breath. When you confess Jesus as Lord, you have to say, Jesus, I confess you as Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Mom, cook me chicken fried steak. Right? I mean, you kids can't think. She's going to go, what are you trying to say? Because you're not saying anything. So, but when you can say, like Angela does to Howdy, Howdy, mow the lawn. And Howdy says, yes, ma'am. Or, I did it yesterday. There's something about the confession, okay? The advice is, let's speak life. You can either speak death right here, or you can speak life. Don't you think it was would be better to say, hey, I'm a winner? But do you realize how many people say, just my luck. I ain't no good. Yesterday I was 11-9 on the first steer. It's just a two-header. I mean, and we're at the Canadian border, basically. That's a long ways from Texas, right? And I feel good because I tied my first one at about sixth in the round or so. And the first guys that were there, I think there were 10-8, 10-9, and then there was 11-6, 7-8, 11-9. And so, if you understand rodeo, Dalton, by the way, was fourth. He was the 11-7. And it was on my horse, and I haven't gotten paid for that yet. And he's back there in the back. He did thank me, though. So I'm feeling good, right? Confidence. I drew a little red steer, and they're natives born here in the United States. Most of the time we rope Mexican Corrientes that you cross from Mexico, and I crossed 200 and some odd for the rodeo. But they're, for some reason, the producer up there, he cut the horns off to where the bases, the tips of those horns were that big. I mean, huge. And so they were tiny. And I'm like, the rule is you only tip them to about a quarter. And that's the rule. You got to at least tip them. But why that much? Well, this little steer had about horns that long on both sides. Not a big deal because it's a good steer and I drew him. I'm 11-9 and the two 10s, one 10 went first and he ended up being 14. I thought, I got some time then. I can be 12-5 and still win the rodeo. But it was frustrating because, I mean, I nodded my head, the steer comes out, and everybody yells, yeah, you're out. You didn't break the barrier, in other words. And I get excited, right? Get a little excited when everything's going right. And when I rope this steer, I rope what we call on the gain. And when you rope going gaining on them, then it pushes your loop down. It makes you feel like you're throwing too much rope. And I roped this steer around the neck. And in the video, you can see my disgust. I mean, I was disgusted, and I threw my old head like a kid. And I had to then remember, oh, wait, I'm the preacher. I need to not cuss. And I don't cuss, by the way. But it still goes through your mind, should I cuss and go kick the cat and the dog? But I had to control because I remembered what was coming in my mouth did not need to come out of my mouth, right? Listen, I've been teaching my son, control your emotions. He's 17 years old. He was in gallop. He roped really good. But one steer, he threw on the side of the steer. He didn't even hit the steer. I didn't even think it was him. And I said, what was that? You know what, though? Because he controlled his emotions, he didn't let that one run defeat him. Listen to me. That's the power of the tongue. What if he would have said, you know, I just ain't no good, Dad. I can't get this stuff. And he's handy at roping. There's power in the tongue. And so let's get a hold of that consistency. Let's get more knowledge of the Word of God. Let's understand that God's given you a gift. And then finally, let's start talking the Word. Let's talk the Word of God. If you do, woo, Jesus, you're going to have victory. You're going to get through a trial and tribulation with no problems. And you are due to be a victor. You're due to be a champion. You're due. It's your right as a saint to be the head, not the tail. Come on now, let's start talking the Word of God. Let's get excited. When the devil tries to tell you something negative, you say, uh-uh, I'm going to speak the Word of God. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. I'm a champion, praise God. I'm going to smile and laugh and have a good time. Come on, give me some. That devil ain't going to win on me. I'm more than victorious through God because he loves me. I can do it. I can do it. That's speaking life in Jesus' name. Amen? All right. Oh, Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing here in this church, in the lives of all these people, as we give you all praise. Thank you, Lord, that our gifts make room for us. We have influence somewhere. So, Father, we're going to use it from now on. We're going to be consistent in the Word of God. We're going to gain more knowledge. We're going to know that we have gifts. And then finally, we're going to start speaking the Word and nothing else. We're going to hold our tongue if it's negative. If it's not life. If it's death trying to come out of our mouths, we're going to speak life in Jesus' name. So thank you for that. We receive this word by faith in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as y'all know, I'd never leave a service without giving someone an opportunity to receive Jesus. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you need to do it today. I'm talking about if you died and you don't know where you would go, either heaven or hell, you need to make heaven your home. And the only way to make heaven your home is to ask Jesus to come into your life. That's what John 14 says. Jesus says, I'm the way, truth, and life. And no one comes to the Father in heaven but through me, Jesus. Is he the Lord of your life? If he's not, we're going to confess him as Lord. I'm going to pray a prayer. If you're here or you're watching and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, then confess this prayer. But all the believers in here are going to pray this prayer with you. And we're going to all just learn the prayer. It doesn't mean we're getting saved again, but we're going to confess this prayer with you. So out of your mouth, I want you to pray this prayer. And I'm talking to anyone that has never made Jesus the Lord of their life. Pray this prayer with all of us right now. You ready? And I want you to confess it. We're going to say it out loud where your ears can hear it. And we're going to ask Jesus to come into our heart. And we're going to pray it all with you. Believers, again, would you pray this prayer with maybe someone beside you, around you, that has never made Jesus the Lord of their lives? I want you to do it right now. If you do, you're going to go to a place called heaven. And then you can have heaven here. So let's ask Jesus into our life by praying this prayer. Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And I'm saved. Coming to heaven when I leave this earth. I need some help. Say that. I need some help. But I'm willing to learn. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, you just gave your heart to Jesus. The Bible says angels are rejoicing in heaven. You're now my brother. You're now my sister in Christ. It's an honor to have you in the family. But here's the thing. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and you never had before, you didn't know what would happen to you if you left this earth and died and you stood before God. But now with Jesus, you're going to go to heaven. If you just did that, it's very, very important to not be ashamed of telling someone. So here's what I want to do. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to get up. I'm just going to ask you right where you're sitting or standing or watching, if you just prayed that prayer and you meant it and you gave your heart to Jesus for the first time this morning, when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand straight up saying, God, here's my hand. I meant that prayer and I gave my heart to your Son, Jesus. And then just put your hand right back down. And I want you to do it boldness. We're not ashamed. If that was you, get that hand up at the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Anybody else? Praise God. So proud of you, little man. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. All right, look at me. I don't know about y'all, but I had a good time. Amen.